The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
This morning to celebrate the victory that Jesus has over death and grave. And he gave us that victory in his name. This is Resurrection Sunday. Amen. If you happen to be a visitor here this morning, we have a gift for you. If you'd like to stop back at our visitor center as you go out this morning, we'll make that available for everyone who's a first-time visitor. And we're just thankful that you're here this morning. We're excited about the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We are here to worship him. We are here to glorify him. We are here to lift him up in the name, in his own name, the name of Jesus, Yeshua, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, our Savior, Jesus. Now, we call this day Easter, and that's a tradition that goes way, way back, but the reality is it is Resurrection Sunday. We have a lot of traditions that we build up around this time of year. Baskets and bunnies and eggs and all those things. And I would say to you this morning that, you know, those are just part of our society. However, let's separate that from the reality of what we're doing here this morning and what this day is all about. Let's recognize that those things, although they're tradition, they go along with the tradition that we have going to church on this Sunday and recognizing the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we need to separate between the two. You know, the tradition that is fun and games and childlike, and the tradition that is reality and eternity. Okay? That it makes a huge difference. Tradition is a part of our lives, but we need to separate what is good tradition and what is bad tradition. Sunday school teacher asked her class to write one sentence each about what Easter means to me. One of her students wrote this: egg salad sandwiches for the next 2 weeks. Yeah, that's true. That sometimes is a part of our tradition, isn't it? Okay, well, you know, as we look at tradition, I like to tell this story to kind of kick things off because I think it really drives home the point about tradition and why we need to know why we are celebrating, know why we are doing certain things. Why are we taking, we're going to take communion this morning. Why are we doing that? Well, there's good reasons behind it. There's scriptural reasons. There's godly reasons. There's not only tradition, but biblical reasons for it. However, there are many things that we do in our church, our family, and our lives that are just traditions. And sometimes we don't even know why we're doing them. For instance, a little girl was with her mother, and they were baking a ham for a dinner celebration for Easter Sunday. And the mother cut the ends off the ham. And the little girl asked mom, "Well, why do you cut the ends off the ham when we get ready to bake it?" The mother said, "Well, because your grandma taught me to bake the ham, and that's what she always did. Call her up and find out why we do that." So she called up the grandma, and the grandma, she said, "Grandma, why do we cut the ends off the ham before we bake it for Easter Sunday?" The grandma said, "Well, I don't know. You'll have to call your granny, great-grandmother, because she's the one that taught me how to bake the ham." So she calls up the old granny, and she explains, "Grandma, granny, we are baking the ham, and mom cut the ends off from it, and we just want to know, why do we cut the ends off the ham before we bake it?" And the old granny just laughed on the other end of the phone. She said, "Because my pan was too small for the ham to fit in." Traditions, sometimes we do things not even knowing why we're doing them. So this morning, I really do want to share with you some reasons why we're doing what we're doing. I want you to understand that there are good biblical reasons for the things that are taking place. There's good biblical reasons for the Friday service that we have, Good Friday service, and we recognize the death and burial of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When John saw Jesus coming, John chapter 1, 19 through 29, we're not going to read that this morning, but I'm just going to tell you what John said. He was prepared, he was baptizing people for the remission of sins, so that their sins could be wiped away. And he looked up and he saw Jesus coming. And he said, and this is what the Word of God says in John chapter 1, verse 29. The next day, John sees Jesus coming unto him, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." The Lamb of God. Why would John call Jesus a lamb? Well, there's good biblical reasons for that. As soon as God revealed to John that Jesus was the Messiah, John referred to him as a lamb. Now, we have to understand that for years, John was a Jew. John was born in Judaism, and he practiced Judaism. Whether you realize it or not, our heritage is in Judaism. Abraham is our spiritual father. Our roots go back into Judaism. That doesn't mean necessarily you were born a Jew. It means you were born again into the kingdom of God when you receive Christ as your personal Savior. The Word of God says that we're grafted in. We become sons and daughters of the Most High God, kings and priests. Hallelujah. There is nothing greater than that fact, that you are adopted into the family of God. Now, John, growing up as a Jew, recognized certain things. They practiced certain things that God gave the Jews. And they were called the Moedim of God, of the Lord. They're not the Moedim of the Jews. They're Moedim of the Lord. And what that means is the feasts of the Lord, or more particularly, appointed times of the Lord. God appointed certain times for things to happen. And John had been, throughout his whole life, he has been going through each and every year certain Moedim, or appointed times, seven of them throughout the year. And the first four of them took place in the spring. They took place, the first one was Pesach, or Passover. The next one was unleavened bread. The third one was the was first fruits, and then 50 days later was Pentecost, or what we refer to as Pentecost. It was actually called by the Jews Feast of Weeks. It was 50 days after Passover. So all these celebrations, and then there's three fall feasts also that are celebrated. But we're concentrating this morning on these feasts that took place in the spring. And the reason that John looked at Jesus and saw him and said he was the Lamb of God, because he realized that Jesus was the suffering servant that was going to come as a lamb at Passover. Each year, Passover was the celebration, or the retelling of the Exodus story. The children of Israel being delivered out of Egypt. The children of Israel, the night before they were delivered out of Egypt, were commanded by Almighty God to take a lamb. Take that lamb in and slay that lamb. A lamb without spot, without blemish. To slay that lamb. Take that blood. Put it over the doorpost and the lintel of their household. And the destroyer was going to pass over them. Everyone who had blood on their doorposts, the destroyer passed over. I want you to understand what I'm telling you this morning, that without the blood of the Lamb, the destroyer is not going to pass over you. Yes, sir. You must have the blood of the Lamb. Yes, sir. The blood of the Lamb. And that's what John was saying. Behold, the Lamb that takes away the sin of the world. When Jesus came, he came with the understanding that he was going to be the Lamb of God that would be slain, it would be hung on a cross, that would be become the sacrificial lamb for all of mankind, that whoever would believe on him would not perish, but have everlasting life. That's why he called him the Lamb of God, because he came to fulfill the Moedim, the appointed times of God. What a great celebration this is this morning. Very soon we're going to be taking, at the end of this service, we're going to be taking communion. And when we do, some of the things that were really important in a Passover Seder, Passover celebration, the retelling of the Egyptians, the deliverance from Egypt, there was several elements that were part of that. Peshach, which was the lamb itself, the matzah, the unleavened bread, the maror, the bitter herbs. If you've participated in a Seder, you know what the bitter herbs are, and you'd rather not participate in that part of it. And then wine. And it was mandated that it was red wine. And during that service, there are four cups that are taken: sanctification, judgment, redemption, and praise. And when we're taking communion this morning, it was at that time that Jesus instituted what we're going to take this morning at the end of this service. He took the bread, the matzah, the unleavened bread that was without, that represented no sin. Leaven always represents sin, so it had no leaven in it. Without sin. He broke it. He gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Eat, this is my body, which is given for you." Then he took the cup. Now, I want you to understand, this was a traditional Jewish Seder. Jesus was sitting down with his disciples. The Bible tells us Jesus is the Lamb. That's my second point this morning. I probably didn't make that very clear, but that's my second point. Jesus is that Lamb because he fulfilled all the biblical prophecies in regards to becoming the Lamb. Jesus took the unleavened bread. He broke it and he gave it to his disciples. Then he took the cup, which is the top. He had come to the point where the cup of redemption was to be taken. He took that cup and he said, "This is the new covenant that is established in my name. Drink it and remember me. Remember what I did for you and what I'm about to do for you." What is so exciting about all this is that right on time, Jesus Christ fulfilled each and every one of the feasts. He died on Passover. When he came in to Jerusalem, he came in on the 10th of Abib. That was the same day they were choosing the Passover lamb. So everybody was to choose their Passover lamb. The high priest went out and chose the Passover lamb that was for the whole congregation. Jesus came in, and here's what they had to do. They had to examine that lamb for 4 days. Jesus came in on the 10th of Abib, and he was examined by all of Israel for 4 days. Not only was he examined by all of Israel, but he was also examined by the religious leaders, the social leaders, and the king. He was passed back and forth between the high priest, Caiaphas, and he was taken to Herod, and Herod sent him to Pilate, and he went back and forth two or three times, and finally, Pilate looks him over. Now, this is very significant. I want you to understand this is all part of fulfillment of prophecy. He looked him over, and Pilate went over and washed his hands and said, "I find no fault in this man." At the same time he was saying that, on the Temple Mount, the high priest was looking the lamb over, the congregational lamb, for the last time. He looked it over, and he would cry. He would do the same thing. He would wash his hands, and then he would cry out, "I find no fault." You know, no one could orchestrate these things except a mighty living God. Jesus was taken to the cross. And while he was hanging on the cross, about to pass away, about to go on to be with the Father. This was, the scripture tells us, it was 3 o'clock in the afternoon, 3 p.m. This is a significant part of fulfillment of prophecy as well, because the Lamb of God had to be sacrificed before twilight. According to scripture, twilight, according to the historian Josephus, the Jews had determined that twilight was from the going down of the sun, or the lengthening of shadows, to dark. They had determined that 3 o'clock in the afternoon was twilight. As Jesus hung on the cross at 3 p.m., he cried out. Well, first of all, they gave him some bitter wine to drink, and then he cried out, "It is finished." The high priest was on the Temple Mount at exactly the same time, sacrificing the last lamb, the communal lamb. And when he was finished, he cried out, "I thirst," just like Jesus did on the cross. Jesus cried out, "I thirst." He cried out, "I thirst." He would take a drink of water, and then he would do exactly the same thing Jesus did every year. "It is finished." Jesus Christ fulfilled every aspect of the prophetic utterance that was given hundreds and hundreds of years before he walked on the face of the earth. Do you realize that there are over 300 prophecies that Jesus fulfilled? No man could do that. It's a reality. No one can. And yet, Jesus fulfilled all those prophecies. It's an interesting thing to think about how Jesus fulfilled the prophecies, because as you look at all these prophecies, just on the day that he died on the cross, he fulfilled 29 prophecies. But there's an interesting book that was written by a man by the name of Stoner. And Mr. Stoner wrote this book, and he was a mathematician. And in his book, he has all kinds of calculations about the life and the death of Jesus, and many things that really prove that Jesus was the Messiah. But the one in particular that I really like to share has to do with 8 prophecies. Just 8 prophecies. Now, let me share 8 prophecies with you that Jesus fulfilled in the time that he walked on the face of the earth. He descended from the lineage of David, Isaiah 11:1. He was born in Bethlehem, Micah 5:2. He was born of a virgin, Isaiah 7:14. He came riding on a foal of an ass 4 days before he was crucified. He was crucified on a cross, Psalms 21:16. No bones were broken. This is very significant, because as Jesus hung on the cross, as they were preparing For Passover, the 2 thieves that hung beside him, that came to them to break their legs so that they would pass away before the Passover began. They had to be gone before Passover. They couldn't leave them hanging on the cross. By the time they came to Jesus, he was already gone. Significant. Hundreds of years before he was even walking on the face of the earth, it said not a bone would be broken. He was betrayed by his best friend, or one of his friends, for 30 pieces of silver. All these things were prophesied hundreds of years before Jesus. Back to Dr. Stoner. One of the things that he tells in his book is he says that the possibility of any one person fulfilling just 8 prophecies is an incredible mathematical statistic. He says that it's 1 in 10 to the 17th power. Now, I don't know how many mathematicians we have in here, but I'm certainly not one of them. So that doesn't mean a whole lot to me. However, he went on to explain what it does mean. He said, if you take the state of Texas and you fill it with silver dollars up to about your knees, about 2 feet deep, over the whole state of Texas, then you take one coin and you mark that one coin and you mix it in with all those coins, hundreds and thousands and millions of coins throughout the state of Texas. Mix those in. And then you would take one person, you put them in the middle of the state of Texas, and you would blindfold them. And then you would say, the first coin you pick up has to be the one with the mark on it. That makes sense to me. It's impossible. It's literally impossible for one person to fulfill just 8 prophecies. Our Lord and Savior has and will, in His second coming, fulfill every prophecy made of Him. We can know for sure that Jesus is the Son of the living God. We can know without a doubt that when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, He meant exactly what He said. He didn't mean that Buddha could be the way, Muhammad could be the way, or any other religious leaders could be the way. He meant that He is and will be the only way to Almighty God to repair that relationship that needs to be repaired. Jesus is the Son of the living God. Pascal, the 17th century physicist, said that every man has a God-shaped hole in his heart. You know, I tend to agree with him. I don't think people have to tell you that there's a God. I think we all know that. But what you need to know is, what you need to be told is that there's a God who made a way for you to have a relationship with Him. And it's called His Son, Jesus. I love this story about Helen Keller. Ann Sullivan worked for months to teach Helen Keller sign language. And when she finally taught her sign language, she came to her one day and she said to Helen, I want to teach you about God today. Now, you have to understand, Helen didn't know anything about God. She couldn't read, she couldn't hear, she couldn't communicate other through sign language, and no one had ever told her about God. However, when Ann said, I want to teach you about God today, Helen said to Ann, good, I've been thinking about Him for a long time. I don't have to tell you there is a God. You've been thinking about Him for a long time. I don't care. I know that there are atheists. There's evolution dogmas that are taught. There's all kinds of things that try to separate us from the reality there's a God. But I can tell you this morning, you know there's a God. You wouldn't be sitting here this morning. There is a God. And that same God loves you so much that He sent His only begotten Son, that whoever would believe on Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. This morning, I want to make sure that you know that you understand. God has made a way. It's through His Son. Romans tells us if you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you shall be saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Salvation is for all, for any who will claim it in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I want you to know that. I want to make sure that you understand that. Hallelujah. Stand with me. Guys, if you will prepare for communion. I want you to remember, I want to bring back to your remembrance what this is all about. This is Jesus' command to us. To take this unleavened bread without sin, which is his body, which was broken for us. Well, it wasn't broken, but which was given for us. And the juice represents the blood. The blood of the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. We must understand, the Jesus hanging on the cross wasn't God's afterthought. This was God's plan from the very beginning. He knows the end from the beginning. And he planned all this. He planned Jesus so that you could receive him and not have to suffer eternally, according to what the scripture says, in hell. People don't like to talk about hell in church these days. Makes people nervous. Well, I don't mind making you nervous if I can save you from that destiny.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I want you to be free from death and hell. And you can do that this morning through the Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. As we take this morning, remember what we're doing. Hallelujah. Father God, we just proclaim your blessing over the communion. And we thank you that we are able to do this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. If you'll just hold your elements, we'll take this all together. Everyone will have the video at the end of the service. I changed things up on people a little bit. All right. As Jesus sat the Jewish Seder, was talking about the fulfillment of Scripture and talking about the deliverance from Egypt. It says this in Matthew chapter 26, verse 26. As they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take the eat. This is my body." Verse 27. Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." All right. I'm going to ask everybody to stand with me once again. Try my best this morning to share the gospel message, which is good news. Good news is that Jesus came, Jesus died, Jesus was buried, but Jesus came back to life. The good news is that Jesus came back to life so that you could have eternal life, so that you could serve the living God here in this earth and then be with Him for eternity. This is the good news of the gospel of Jesus. He did it all for us. And I could, you know, I've done my best to share with you the historical facts, the reality that He fulfilled the prophetic utterance that was given hundreds of years before He walked on the face of the earth. I've done my best to try to share with you the reality. I know in my heart, without a doubt, Jesus is the Savior. Jesus is the Messiah. There is no doubt. But you must know that. You must confess it with your mouth and believe it in your heart, and then you'll be saved. I'm going to ask everyone to bow your head this morning. Hallelujah. If you are in here this morning and the Lord's speaking to you, and you'd like to make that commitment, I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm not going to have you come forward. We're just going to pray for you right there. But I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. If you've never made the commitment to know Jesus as your personal Savior, to mend that relationship between you and the Father, it has to be mended. And it can only be mended through the blood of Jesus and you accepting what Jesus did for you. You have to confess you're a sinner and yet you're saved by the grace of God through Jesus Christ. If that's anyone in here, raise your hand. Hallelujah. I don't want you to miss this opportunity. We don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. You might walk out those doors and it's over. There may be a nuclear war tomorrow and wipe us all out. We don't know. This is a crazy world we live in. We have no idea what's going to happen. I want you to be ready to meet your Maker. I want you to be ready to receive all that He has for you today. Hallelujah. Is there anyone? All right. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you. Praise you. Thank you for raising your hand. Thank you. I'm just going to pray. I'm going to ask everyone to pray with me this morning. Heavenly Father, I know I'm a sinner, but I believe You made a way. through your Son, Jesus Christ.
I confess Him
as my Savior today. And I believe in my heart that You raised Him from the dead. Hallelujah. Amen. And you are saved. Glory. Praise God. Today is a new day. A new day in the kingdom. A new life in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We're going to play a video. Hallelujah. Don't have one? Just the music. Just song. Okay, we're going to play a song. I need to get on board with what's going on. We're going to play a song as we go out this morning. Hallelujah. Have an awesome day.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber, and I trust you've been blessed by this week's podcast. Our desire here at Bethel is to connect you to the kingdom of God with inspired and anointed teaching. If you like this teaching and would like to know more about our ministry here at Bethel, please visit our website at bethelwc.org.